Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally L. Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. I am running for Public Advocate of New York City to ban vaccines in 2013. I have gone out to all of my legislators locally, state, and federal. I need everybody to do likewise. Please visit my blog, which is Billion Toddler March. forsurvival.blogspot.com, and there are many actions that you can take. It is very action-oriented, and so many interviews and videos and literature. I am trying very hard to educate you, and I hope you will educate yourself if you have children, most especially. Now, the three reasons I'm trying to ban them, firstly, is for the ingredients within vaccines, which I have derived from the physician's warranty for vaccine safety. This is on almost every single vaccine website. It's amazing. I would definitely Google physician's warranty for vaccine or physician's warranty of vaccine safety. And basically, it requires physicians to sign that they will accept responsibility for the outcome of injecting a roster of ingredients, all of which are poisonous, into children. I don't know of any physician who has signed this, and quite frankly, I don't blame them. But the question is, if you won't sign it, why would you inject it? The second reason are the diseases that result from vaccines, all of which are they are detrimental and either deadly forthwith, as with the HPV vaccine or hepatitis B in babies, or over the long run, such as the injections that were given in the late 50s, early 60s, had that cancer, created cancer in people today. There are a lot of people in their late 50s who are dying from this, and it is associated with the polio vaccine of yore, the one that has been heralded as the savior is in fact what's killing people, but there are so many diseases that result from vaccines, and we can get into that, and I've gotten into it many times on previous interviews. But also this in late 2011, and I didn't read about it till 2012, the intent to give these diseases has been established. So there's nothing left to find, and there is no reason at this point not to move with assurance that these need to be banned. So I'm saying ban them for the ingredients or the diseases or the intent or all three, but ban them. So at the state level, I'm asking people to go to their state level legislators and say nullify. Nullify the CDC vaccine schedule and the pandemic laws. So there's something you can do, and you can do it today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. It's not too late today to go directly to your legislators. Print out the legislation on BillionToddlerMarchForSurvival.blogspot.com and go visit them right away. Now, let me see if my guest is on before I proceed. Hold on just a second. Oh, yes, wonderful. Okay, before I introduce her, there's something very important I need to read to you, and it is from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Today I will be speaking with Heather, the autism warrior of Long Island, about the true cost of vaccines, and this will really rock your world. But before I pick up, I want to read something from a video I just watched with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, which who a lot of people know as a doctor who speaks out truthfully with regard to vaccines. And this is in regard to the cost of vaccines, which is why I'm opening the show with it. It's, she says, from the beginning, we have paid and paid and paid for vaccines. The government pays to get them developed. The government subsidizes vaccine manufacturing. The U.S. government is the largest purchaser of produced vaccines of any group in the world. The government underwrites the building of new vaccine plants. We pay health department officials to run them and to make sure we are vaccinated. We reimburse doctors' offices and public health clinics to get us vaccinated. And we pay for all of those drugs through escalating health insurance premiums. And we pay for all the drugs to treat the vaccine injuries we see and all the side effects. We pay and pay and pay. It doesn't just stop with just the first shot. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, I think certainly she has laid the groundwork for what this interview will be all about. So allow me now to pick up my honored guest, Heather, Autism Warrior of Long Island, New York. Bear with me while I pick her up. Hi, Heather.
Hi, how are you?
Well, what did you think of what Dr. Sherry Tenpenny had to say with regard to the cost leading up to the cost that you incur?
Sounds pretty much about right from my own personal research and looking into everything the past, about 3 years ago is when I started. So I think she's pretty much nail on. Nail on, definitely.
Well, I hadn't realized how much subsidies everybody was receiving from our tax dollars. I know that none of the money seems to reach the parents of the injured child, but
no.
A large part of it. I mean, I've also heard, and I don't know if this is even possible, but and yet it could be, that the pharmaceutical industrial complex has outstripped the military industrial complex for government subsidies.
That is possible. I don't know further into all of that. I just know that with every vaccine that's given, someone's making a dollar somewhere. The doctors make money off the vaccines given. The pharmaceuticals obviously are making it. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry with every vaccine that is produced, with every vaccine that's given out, with every vaccine. And the saddest part is that now it's gotten so out of control, the amount that they're giving to these kids at this time, it's hurting, it's injuring, it's causing mayhem, and my child is one that has been injured by the vaccines given, and she doesn't even get half as much as what they give to a child born in 2013. My daughter Sabrina was born in 2001, so she had a total of 21 vaccines by the age of 6. Today, they want up to 48 injections in a 6-year-old, so my child would have been dead if she had all of those. But the point being is that these children are getting sick, they're getting injured, they're dying, and nobody is getting, well, some people are getting the compensation, but a lot of us are not, such as myself. The federal, they have, you know, pharmaceutical companies are not liable. They immune them back in the 80s because there were civil lawsuits going on from vaccine-injured children. And they realized what was going on. And I'm sure you're very well aware of that. And so what they did was created that federal vaccine court. And I call it a joke of a court because of their statute of limitations and how, like, one in every three cases actually get heard. And in my case, my child is now going to be 12. I just got my solidification, my evidence that the vaccines did induce her autism, that did cause her brain, gut, and immune injuries. And I can't do anything about it. I cannot go to this federal vaccine court because we're past that statute of limitations. They give you a small period of time you can do anything.
Very common, Heather, is it not? Every single parent of a vaccine-injured child that I have spoken to has said, yes, we finally got our, what do you call that?
Our process? Evidence. Our
right.
Yeah.
But it has been beyond the period where we could have filed. Every single person I'm interviewing is saying the same thing, Heather. Very important what you just said.
It's very, very true. I mean, if I knew back then, what I know now, maybe I would have had a stick of a chance, but they make it very hard to even submit a claim, and they do it purposely because they know, like, the reason why the pharmaceutical companies initially were going to stop making the vaccines in the 80s because they were getting the civil lawsuits and all of the, you know, people suing them for their injured children. The government, you know, said, hey, we'll make you a deal. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to mess up our vaccine program. We want to keep it around, so we'll keep the liability off of you. You will be immune. Let us take care of it, which is when Ronald Reagan created the Federal Vaccine Court, and they made it to where it's this one court you could go to, and you have to have there's a statute of limitations, and there has to be certain ways of certain things during a certain amount of time. They make it nearly impossible because the pharmaceutical companies literally said if they didn't get that liability held from them, they would go out of business. They would go bankrupt. So
right.
Knowing
and
now, you know,
the Supreme Court has protected them by
yes.
upholding this ludicrous this petition that you have been promoting lifts
oh,
the
yeah.
ban that protects them, but the fact that they upheld it because they were afraid that the manufacturers would stop manufacturing vaccines when this is our goal. This would be ideal. I just want to say something in regard to the vaccine kangaroo court. There are only two people, I understand, and I heard this from a good authority, that there are only two people reviewing the cases. And who, pray tell, who pays to this? Every single person who purchases a vaccine pays into this fund.
Absolutely. 75 cents from each vaccine given to each person goes into this compensation fund. That's how they get the money to pay the ones that actually do get heard and actually do win. And there have been billions paid out from then till now, you know, state and vaccine injury, vaccine deaths, and vaccines leading to autism, vaccines causing autism. So this is not something that is new. This is something they're very well aware of, and it's just not fair to the children and the families who have suffered, and they're suffering not only their health and watching their child deteriorate, but now you have the financial burden. You know, I can't go to this federal vaccine court because of their statute of limitations. I cannot go to the pediatrician who looked me directly in my face and said that I had no choice. I had to vaccinate my child for her to go to school. So I didn't know back then, I wasn't educated, that I had a choice. So being young, scared, I don't know, whatever the case may be, she was vaccinated. I can't sue him, who's, by the way, now retired and living a nice life. I can't sue him because he is also protected by the government because they're private. The pediatricians are private practices, so they're not required by law to let you know of all the adverse effects. They're not required by law to give you the vaccine's ingredients. If you ask them, then yes, but they're not required, and that's another way the government is protecting their precious, quote-unquote, precious vaccine program. And, you know, I'm in a position where we're a family of four. My husband, my children's stepfather is the only one who's working. I've been trying to, you know, do something to get, you know, a job, but when you have a special needs child, you don't have open availability. You can only work at certain times. It's very difficult for me to even get a job while she's, you know, at school. I have an older daughter, neurotypical. She's getting ready to go into college. I can't help her. We can't help her financially as we should be able to because all of the money goes to Sabrina's health. It was basically sitting down and saying, this is what it's going to be. We either spend the money on the child's health or we spend money on, we're at a point of the house. You know, I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to do this. And it's not just me. It's, you know, I've met many, many families dealing with the same situation. These kids are injured. They're sick. We're trying to do everything we can financially to take care of them. We can't. We're losing our houses. We're losing our cars. We're losing things because what do you choose, your child or the material? Obviously, you're going to try. You're going to pick your child. You know, you don't want
right.
to see your child suffer.
You're not even talking about luxuries. You're talking about
no,
culture.
Not at all. Luxuries, forget about it. There's no such thing.
Shelter,
yes.
transportation, this is what's being compromised, not the luxury,
yes.
the basics, the necessities.
Yeah, the basics. There's no such thing as vacation. There's no such thing as getting your hair done. There's no such thing as fancy cars. There's no such thing of those extras. If you're a materialistic person, which I'm not saying is bad, but if you like to live life nicely, then I suggest you really think about vaccinating your children before you do so, because that's gone. You, that whole, you know, lovely family vacation lifestyle, that it's a whole lifestyle change. You have to give up everything for this child because you need to in order to help this child. I mean, unless you're one of the few that are, you know, wealthy and you can handle that, you know, more power to you. But reality is most people are struggling, okay? Everyday life, people are struggling, and adding the burden of the financial needs for these children, the special diets they have to have, you know, certain foods, the allergies, the organics, then you have to add the supplementation because they're nutritional deficient. I mean, my child is about $1,200 a month, and that's quote-unquote cheap. That's just for her food, her special diets, her supplements, and the doctor and the few therapies that we could do. My goal is just making sure she has the food and the supplements, you know. Everything else
is
icing. All out of pocket.
All out of pocket.
Absolutely, because insurances don't really cover anything, you know. They don't cover what these children really need to heal and recover.
Now, when your little one was vaccine injured, when you realized that she needed something special, something extra, how old was she then?
With me, it took a little bit longer, and this is one of the main reasons why I started the Facebook page and the Twitter and all the social media I do is to share with people what I've learned now, because if I could go back in time and I knew then what I knew now, if I had the social media, if I had all the tools that we have today, you know, I know my daughter would have had a better chance of recovery, but I found out and started learning and looking about 3 years ago. My situation was I was told by the pediatrician for a very long time, she was born that way, it's genetic, it's a brain disorder, there's nothing you can do. That's what I was told. And about eight years went by watching my child just deteriorate, and I was working, you know, 40-plus hours a week. I was laid off, and then I was home for that year, and that was the year when you're around your child and you see her a lot more, and I'm saying, wow, something is not right. This kid is not growing. She was the same height for 4 years straight. She couldn't gain a pound. She was 50 pounds for 4 years straight. Dark circles under her eyes. You know, you could look at the child, and I was saying, she's dying in front of me. Something is more to this. And the mommy gut was just going and going. And I said, I have to start looking into this. And that's when I got on my computer and I started Googling and I started looking. And then that's when I found out, because I've always felt that those vaccines did something. I had a beautiful baby, bright, intelligent, giggling, you know, interacted, babbled, talked, eye contact, all of that. And it wasn't until the 15-month round of vaccines when stuff started going backwards. Her eye contact left. She started whacking her head against the walls, anything hard. She couldn't walk straight. She lost her words, you know, all the typical things. And I just always felt that there was something, but I couldn't explain it. So going fast forward to 3 years ago, I said, okay, my child's not thriving. This pediatrician I see now, because we have a new one because of the fact of the other one retired, she wasn't giving me any answers. she just felt, you know, oh, well, she's just a slow grower, you know. I'm like, no, something's more. I started researching. A book fell onto my lap called Healing and Preventing Autism. I read it and just light bulbs started going off, bing, 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 and I'm like, this makes completely sense. Now I understand what's going on, and the more and more I read, the more and more I learned, the more I found other moms healing and treating their children because they're injuries. These are all sustainable injuries. If you're born with a genetic disorder, like, example, Down syndrome, you're not going to be able to do anything and to treat them to get better. These children are getting better because they are injured. If this was something you're just born with, if it was just a gene you're born with, there's no way you could change anything. So when I learned what I did, I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this blood work that these doctors never did. I'm going to change her diet. I'm going to do all of this stuff, and I'm going to prove to myself, okay, if they're saying that this is the way it is and that it's really injuries and that there's something we could do to help them, what do I got to lose? I got nothing to lose. My kid's not growing. She looks like she's dying. I have to do something. So
right.
I did. In 2011, it was October, and that's when I got all these blood results back. I found out she had all of these food allergies. I removed the gluten and the dairy and the soy and a handful of other food allergies she had. I changed her food to all organics, non-GMO, non-processed chemical crap, took all of that out of her diet. And let me tell you, within just 2 weeks, I saw such a difference. Now, my child is what you would consider higher function, only because she was verbal. She would speak like she was maybe a two-year-old, like two-word phrases, three-word phrases, I want cup, you know, I want juice, like that. Within the 2 weeks, removing the gluten, because gluten acts as an opium to the body, she went through a withdrawal stage, so it was like Satan took over her. She had the sweat. She got sick. It was like she was coming off of drugs. But once we got through the storm and the clouds lifted, this child was a completely different child. The behaviors are gone. She has a few tics left, but that you know, her handcuffing thing. But I'm talking about behaviors like biting, scratching, you know, screaming, having the fits. Behavior's gone. It was like something in her brain was finally lifted and more connections were able to be reconnected because of these things that were blocking it. So just by simple diet, she started speaking more words, more fuller sentences. She actually, we started the supplements. Fish oil was the first supplement I started with because I read a lot about the fish oil and the omegas. And I remember her, this is when I knew something, we were on the right track. She was in the bathroom brushing her teeth, and I was in the kitchen, and out of nowhere, this is the third week into the change of everything, out of nowhere, I hear her scream at the top of her lungs, Mommy! Mommy, I could talk! And she came running out to me into the kitchen, Mommy, I could talk! I could talk! And I just started crying. I'm trying to cry right now. I started crying my eyes out, and she was jumping with joy. This child who I haven't seen smile in so many years, ear-to-ear smile, Mommy, I could talk. I'm better. So I knew that something more was going on. I knew that we were now on the right track because I figured out what was going on, and I knew I had to find the right doctors and practitioners who knew how to continue to help me. And since then, I'm blessed to say that we have found the right people, and 20 months into changing just the diet and the supplementations, she gained 10 pounds. She shot up 5 inches tall. Her body was not being properly supported. So now that we figured out the imbalances within her, found out where the injuries were, found out what we needed to do to help treat that, she is thriving. She is doing so much better. So It's a beautiful thing and it's a happy thing, but it comes at a cost. My house may be gone in the next year, you know? But to me, I will do whatever I need to do. I will go to the moon and back to help my child. But the people who are creating this problem need to be stopped. The people who are trying to cover this up need to be stopped. The people who are not helping these children with their compensation need to start compensating. God forbid something happens to me tomorrow, I don't know what's going to happen to my child. Where is that money going to come from to continue supporting her body the way it needs to be supported properly for her to live the most optimal, well life? And this is what really irks me and what puts a flame under my hiney to keep doing what I'm doing and sharing our story and saying, hey, you know, this is a learning process for us, but look at what we've learned. Look at what I found out. You know, really learn and do your research before you vaccinate, because once you vaccinate, you can't undo it. You could, you know, you could try to heal, but it's a decision forever. You could always decide to vaccinate later on, but people really need to start opening their eyes and listening to the parents who have lived through this, who've watched their children change before them, because this is a very unselfless, I don't even want to say disease, it's an injury. It's very unselfless. You can't be a person that likes to have the extras, because those extras are gone. Otherwise, your child will suffer.
But you can't be a person who wants to have the basics. You're going to lose your home. This is very serious.
We're struggling for the basics. Yes, that is absolutely right. Like I said, you know, the foods and the supplements are priority for Sabrina. That comes first. And then anything on top of that is like our, you know, icing and cherry on the cake, you know?
I have a very important question for you. What does insurance cover, and what does insurance not cover?
For us, the only thing our insurance has covered was doctor visits. And that is just, you know, I found a wonderful doctor here in New York who knows exactly what tests to run, what to look for, who is integrated. He's a pediatrician that now that helps a lot of these autistic kids. And
Explain integrated.
He's a medical doctor that integrated into, he also does like biomedical measures as well. He understands that vaccines can injure children. He understands what to look for, and he understands what needs to be done in order to help correct the situation, treat the situation, support the body. So I pay co-payments when I thank him every day that he just started accepting insurance, because otherwise he was untouchable for us. He was like $1,000 for a consultation that I did not have as much as I wanted to have. I didn't have. Now he's accepting insurance, so private insurance he accepts. So it's our co-payments. But let me tell you, my co-payments are $30 a pop when you have about five different doctors to see a month and therapies to do a month adds up. So, I
now,
mean...
Therapist, is that covered by your insurance?
No. No, the chiropractic, we do cranial psychotherapy, the pressure points on the head, which she loves to go to, and she says makes her boo-boo head better. Insurance does not cover that. That is an out-of-pocket expense. That could run about $200 a visit. I do have a doctor that is wonderful and works financially with us and accepts co-payment. So we're good with that. But there's another doctor we're going to see, which is a homeotoxicologist, which does not accept any insurance whatsoever, and a $300 initial visit, and then each visit after that could be a couple of hundred, because this is the way we are choosing to detoxify her, because now we know all the things that are wrong and what's going on. Now we need to get the junk out. And they don't cover that. Insurances don't cover alternative therapies. They don't cover biomedical therapies. And these are the things that are healing these kids. They don't cover, you know, hyperbaric chamber, the HBOT machine, which I would love. Like, Sabrina is a major candidate. She has mitochondrial dysfunction, the autism, the autoimmune disorder, you know, the methylation issue. All of that would be a wonderful therapy for her, but insurance don't cover that. You know, I don't have, that's unrealistically untouchable for us right now. But the things, you know, the things that are out there that can help these kids, insurance does not cover. They will cover a gastroenterologist, which half of them don't even know what they're doing. They will cover a neurologist, which some of them will say, you know, certain things, but they really don't know the whole gist of it. They'll cover a typical immunologist, which I've learned that they all look at me with five heads when I go in and have met with them, because they don't get it. They look at autism as it's a brain disorder. They don't understand the full biological aspects of it. So honestly, my insurance really just pays for basic, you know, her eye doctor, her dentist, and this one medical doctor that I have found that has helped guide us with her medical issues. So really nothing.
I went to look up a homeopathic doctor, and I was sent by Google to what kind of a doctor did you say you used?
The homeotoxicologist?
No, you said there's a specific.
Oh, the integrated. How he's integrated. How I explained to him as an integrated doctor. Yeah,
right.
Like meaning he's Western medicine. He's medical, but he does also apply biomedical measures as well. Correct.
Right, but my whole point being that I was looking for a homeopath, and all Google provided me with was what you just said. Say it again. Interdiscipline, what?
The integrated?
Integrated. I'm sorry. I don't know what's the matter with me. Integrated. Yeah, but I mean, I couldn't find a homeopath by Googling it. I only could find an integrated doctor, and that at least they will cover. But I don't know. I've heard that that antibiotics, for example, set your child back or further their problem. So even if they integrated and used antibiotics, wouldn't that also be harmful? Do you find this doctor alert and aware enough not to send your child backwards at any point?
He's been helping these children for about 15 plus years. I have full confidence in this particular doctor. And I actually recommend him. I've recommended a lot of people that live in New York to go see him, because in the medical aspects, I mean, I fully believe in homeopathy, holistic, alternative, because I really believe in those treatments to detoxify and to heal. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty and needing to know what's going on, I wanted my evidence. I wanted my blood work. I wanted all of that. And you need a medical doctor to do that. And this is the doctor that I had found, that I was recommended to, that did all of that for us. He is the one who knew which tests to run. He is the one who read her blood work, who does the research. Like, he is what a medical doctor really should be. He doesn't just, you know, do a couple of tests and be like, here you go. He actually researches each individual case, and he will sit there and take the time and explain every single thing to you. And he is the one who said, my child was born weak. He said that there was autoimmune disorders in her father's side, and then we had found out that the MTHFR gene, the mutated gene, which basically a lot of people have. This is no, you know, isolated case. Most people have this, they just don't know it. And what that it means is that your methylation system has a compromise. So my daughter was born with already a weak immune system and this methyl, MTHFR gene. So she had the predispositioning. He says it's epigenetic. She was already predispositioned. Plus, the foods and the regular basic toxic environment and everything else. She was born fine, but she was born weak. And what had happened to my child is that the toxins within these vaccines, every single time she got them, she started with the eczema, she had it a rash, she had, then the crying nonstop, she had adverse effects. I didn't know what to look for back then. So I, questioned the pediatrician I had back then. Oh, it's normal. But he knew what to look for, and he said, the bottom line is that the vaccines triggered this in your child. The vaccines is what caused the autism, what caused her brain, gut, and her immune injuries. So this is the type of doctor that I wish was available for all of us, because this is what you need to figure out to help your child.
Well, let me just stop you right there and say, everybody who's listening, this is the Autism Warrior of Long Island, New York, and her Facebook page is directly under the screen of this radio program. If your child is suffering adverse reactions to vaccines, I would recommend highly that you visit her page. Won't you tell us, Heather, what some typical adverse reactions to vaccines are?
The first ones a lot of people see are the swelling on the leg, the red dot, the big swelling, the high fevers, high-pitched scream, not the typical crying, but the really high-pitched, bad crying, not being able to sleep.
Don't they call them purple screams or purple cries?
Yeah, purple screams, like inconsolable, very inconsolable cries, consistent crying. Not being, sleep disturbances, then eczema. Eczema is a sign because there's proteins in these vaccines of dairy, of soy, of peanuts, of gluten, of all these different things that could trigger a allergy. So when you develop eczema, that's your body saying, hey, something's not right with my immune system. So eczema can be and has been affiliated as an adverse reaction. My daughter had eczema. I didn't know what it was. These are the beginning signs. Then at 12 months is when I really saw more, and that was she stopped answering to her name. We thought she was deaf. I had her hearing test. Her hearing came back fine. She stopped answering to her name. That's just showing the auditory processing part of the brain is starting to get injured there. So stop answering to the name, loss of eye contact, losing some words. If they were a babbler and they had a few basic words and they're starting to lose words, that's another one. I have on my page specifically, on the top right corner of it, there's a notes box. There's a bunch of boxes, and there's one that says notes. I have information there 24/7 available for anybody and everybody. If you click there, there's a whole bunch of information, and it says, what is adverse effects? What are they? What do I look for? Highly recommend everybody should click onto that. There's a big list of what they are, what to look for, the signs. Also, I have a list of tests. A lot of people ask me, well, what tests did you do? What tests did you run on your daughter? How do we know what to look for? There I also made a note stating what tests can we do, what do we look for? Also, I have signs of autism, red flag signs of, hey, something may be going on and we need to check this out. I have a lot of great information there. Do check it out. Like I said, it's available there at all times. So anybody could look at any time of the day if they need so.
Well, I would like to ask you, with all these peculiarities, considering when we were growing up versus now, what you're talking about, unfortunately, is becoming typical, as you say, with the 48 vaccines through the age of five. And you're stating correctly when you say, I don't know that they'll survive them. I'm at the point where I'm telling people, don't worry about the MMR because autism will never affect your life if your child doesn't live long enough to get that shot. And this is what they're
doing. It's sad but true.
Right, and nobody, this is a crime that goes unpunished, no one is ever arrested, and paying for all of this is outrageous on top of the fact that there is a blatant crime that has transpired, and nobody's allowed to associate anything with the vaccine, and everybody's part of the cover-up. And when you talk about the fact that the doctors will then not give you a diagnosis wherein you can get get compensated for this, you know, this is a double crime. They won't acknowledge that what your child is suffering from, they caused, and therefore you cannot get compensated. So I would like, beyond all the many doctor visits you must have had, you just listed a roster of side effects, adverse reactions they're also called, which all of them you went to the doctor, I'm sure. What's going on with my child? You know, so how many visits you must have had above and beyond a child who's unvaccinated is probably incalculable at this point. However, there's another issue here. The other issue is you have another child, and you cannot afford to pay for their college. Therefore, this child will now get in debt if they wish to go to college. So there, add that expense to it. What might have been something you saved for is something now that your child must become indebted for. So it's
there's no such thing as savings. When this happens to you, you don't have money for savings. There's no trust funds. There's no life insurance. I mean, there's all the money's gone. It's gone. It goes to the child that's sick. And like you said, the siblings suffer. They suffer. They don't get they really should.
In a monetary sense for college, okay, I took out a $10,000 loan. At the end of the day, I wound up paying back $30,000. So I just want to say, whatever your child's college expense will be, what they'll wind up paying for it will be threefold. So I just wanted to bring that up because that is yet another cost of autism. And then, cost of vaccine injury.
And then another thing, one last thing I would really like to bring up is...
Yes, you have 1 minute, Heather. I would make good use of it.
Let's talk about when these children, the tsunami, my daughter is the beginning of the tsunami of children that are getting diagnosed, not because of better diagnosing, but because of the increase in vaccines, the increase of diagnosing. What happens to them when they're adults? Who pays for it? The taxpayers. The assisted living, the Medicaid, the Social Security, what's going to happen to them?
There will be nobody left to care for them. It's not even
That's my biggest fear.
Well, it, of course, it's every autism mother's biggest fear is what will happen to my child when I'm gone.
And it's the cost of that. People don't realize that you will be paying for these children in the long run. You're doing it now. You are paying for it now, and it's just going to get worse. Congressman Burton had it right on the head when he was confronting Boyle, the CDC. Do something about it, about doing their non-vax to vaccinated, their study that they want to do, because he was saying it's going
to
cost the taxpayers trillions of dollars, and that's what it's going to do.
We must put a moratorium on vaccines for this vax versus unvaccinated study. The only way you're going to get a true read, we've been inoculating kids for 80 years, is to put a moratorium on them for 80 years. There's your study. So you want to put a moratorium on it? That's a good
idea. I believe
go to my blog and read the bill, because once you read the bill, I do think you'll be a tad disenchanted. So a moratorium is what I'm calling for the next 80 years.
Yes, agree. So lift that liability off the pharmaceutical companies. I bet my life that they would stop making those vaccines. I bet it.
Everybody sign the petition, please. Below the screen, Marcus Hines has created a petition to make the pharmaceutical companies liable for what they have done, to lift the ban for shielding them. They are shielded now. This is ludicrous. And Heather and mothers like her are suffering. Heather will lose her house. Heather's daughter will have to go deeply in debt to pay for college, all because of the tremendous expense of a child who has been vaccine injured. I thank you very much for joining me today, Heather. And everybody, please go to her Facebook page, Autism Warrior of Long Island. And thank you for your action.